And please don't go anywhere, because coming up next is the best show in the free world about animals. It's Talking Animals with Duncan Strauss coming up next. This has been the Serena Sharp Show, hot topics you really care about.
It's just about 9 o'clock at 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, where for this next hour of programming, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. It's time now for Talking Animals on KUCI.
Seen it all, boys. I've been all over, been everywhere in the whole wide world. I rode the high line with old Blind Darby. I danced real slow with Ida Jane. I was full of wonder, and I left my freeze blue. Now I'm full of hollow on Maxwell Street. I hope my pony, I hope my pony, I hope my pony goes away. Walk from Natchez to Hush Burkina. I built a fire by the side of the road. And I worked for nothing in a Belzoni sawmill. And I caught a blind out on the B&O. Tallulah's friendly, Belzoni ain't so. A 44 will get you 99. I hope my pony, I hope my pony, I hope my pony knows the way.
That's music from Tom Waits with a song called Pony, an apt tune given our guesswork, which we'll get into momentarily, as we slide into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine and streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole enterprise, the whole shebang, the whole enchilada, the whole, fill in some other word that would be similar, is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, and I absolutely urge you to use that number. Call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy. I'm telling you, we love to get calls. Other ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our fab website at talkinganimals.net. That's right. Wait for it. Again, it's .net, folks. Also, before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another stimulating session of the Serena Sharp Show. We love alliteration, don't we? Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a smooth balance of those elements, as you can readily glean by visiting our nifty website at www.talkinganimals.net, where nearly every show we broadcast ever is archived. We've gotten really caught up in the last few days. Our thanks to webmaster extraordinaire, John Taylor, for that. And we'll get a few more cut up shortly. And anyway, so it's looking really good there on the website for all just about all the shows we've ever done, really. And cool little synopses and the whole shebang. But clearly the heart of the program, as you can see if you check out some of that stuff, is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant of some province of the animal world. Today our guest is Janelle Robinson, Director of Therapy Services at the Shea Therapeutic Writing Center in San Juan Capistrano, which employs hippotherapy, the use of the movement of a horse as a tool by physical therapists and other therapists to address impairments, functional limitations, and disabilities in patients with neuromusculoskeletal dysfunction. That's quite a mouthful, obviously more than I was able to handle, but we'll learn all about what that means momentarily. One impressive thing about that we already do know about the Shea Center is there are upwards of 700 such centers in the U.S., and only five are certified to train instructors in this field, and the Shea Center is one of those five. So we'll hear all about the Shea Center when Janelle Robinson joins us in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news. I want to remind you again of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss. Announcements, so maybe you have an event, a benefit, some kind of fundraiser or something coming up, animal-related, of course. Observations, any news story you might have spotted that we should be highlighting here. It'd all be most welcome. The number again, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news. Typically these are local, regional, national, sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight, and with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. All right then, let's talk turkey, as it were. All right, as always, produced by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department, here we go. This is actually, you know, darn close to breaking news. Headlined, Cougar Mauls Woman on Hike. A small mountain lion, this is from today's LA Times, a small mountain lion mauled a Santa Monica woman who was hiking Saturday by the Johnsondale Bridge area of the Giant Sequoia National Monument north of Kernville, the California Department of Fish and Game said Sunday. Emergency workers transported Shannon Parker, 27, to UCLA Medical Center in Westwood on Sunday morning from Kern Medical Center in Bakersfield. She lost her right eye and was treated for deep gashes in her right thigh, said Steve Martorano, a spokesman for Fish and Game. At the family's request, a hospital spokeswoman would not release details about Parker's condition. Parker was hiking at 7 p.m. Saturday, about 15 to 20 miles north of Kernville, with her boyfriend and two friends. She left the group to retrieve a pair of sunglasses from a vehicle parked nearby. A few minutes later, her hiking partners heard screams. They found Parker struggling with a 60 to 70-pound lion. One of the men stabbed it several times with a knife, and they threw rocks at it. Injured and bloody, the cougar let go of Parker and left the scene. Parker's friends were not hurt, and the lion was later found and killed. This is the 15th lion attack reported in California since 1890. Montorano said. Six of those victims were killed. The most recent attack occurred in January in Orange County's Santa Ana Mountains, where a man was killed while repairing his bike in Whiting Ranch Wilderness Park. Another mountain biker was also attacked by the lion but survived. People have spotted the wild animals in recent months in Los Angeles's Griffith Park and Ocana Community Park in Ventura County. Walter Boyce, a cougar expert and director of the Wildlife Health Center at UC Davis, said Parker was lucky she had friends with her. Experts recommend that hikers travel in groups, because in the rare chance, this is a quote from him, an attack occurs, having someone with you gives them the opportunity to help you or go for help, Boyce said. He continues, it's a good thing three people were there to help fight the lion off. So we'll hope for a good and speedy recovery for her as possible. This was front page in the news section news Saturday. But old Arnold Schwarzenegger, and who's learning as he goes in the job, as I guess anybody would, but I think he might have been a little startled to find out what the might of animal lovers can feel like when you're considering something so, at least controversial, if not wrong-headed. Let me just read a little bit of it to you. Headlined, Pet Lovers Howl, So Governor Rolls Over, and the sub-headline, Schwarzenegger quickly drops a plan to save money by letting shelters euthanize strays in 72 hours. That was an oversight, quote, he says. This is all still in the headline. All right, so from Sacramento, the hectoring barks of animal lovers convinced Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to reverse himself Friday and keep California's law protecting stray dogs and cats at shelters. That's not me, it is a quote from him. I have three dogs, and of course I grew up with every animal you can think of, said Schwarzenegger, who credited his own daughter for persuading him to change his mind. I'm an animal lover. Schwarzenegger's about-face came a day after animal rights groups began besieging the Capitol upon learning that the governor wanted to cut back a six-day holding period for animals at shelters. To save $14 million, the governor had proposed allowing dogs and cats to be euthanized within 72 hours. Former state senator Tom Hayden, who wrote the law for dogs, cats, birds, rabbits, turtles, pot-bellied pigs, and other creatures trapped at shelters, said if the governor is true to his word, he will call off the dogs. Quote, it shows that the governor has a disarming ability to confess a mistake and reverse course, which I find in few, if any, politicians, Hayden said. So I'm going to put my barking dogs on their leashes, and I'm going to counsel the owners of pot-bellied pigs to call off their intended assault. And it goes on from there to say that, you know, looks good, although animal lovers and others want to just be vigilant to make sure that there's no even minor changes in the law that get sort of tucked in there. So, but, you know, good for Arnie. I mean, that's he's still in good shape. Boy, he was backpedaling at lightning speed there, I'd say. Here's one that comes to us from Toronto, Canada. Got this from Reuters. A Canadian man driving a car packed with weapons and ammunition was intent on killing as many people as possible in a Toronto neighborhood, but gave up the plan at the last minute when he encountered a friendly dog, police said on Thursday. The middle-aged man, who police said was mentally disturbed, had planned to carry out the shooting spree on Wednesday to ensure he would be put in jail permanently, Toronto police said. He had set himself up in an East End park to load his weapons and then planned to drive around shooting. He later told police that a dog then approached and started playing with him. The encounter melted the man's heart, and he then went in search of police to give himself up, police said. Quote, he happens to be a pet lover and decided that since there was such a nice dog in the area, that people were too nice and he wasn't going to carry out his plan, Detective Nick Ashley told reporters. Police found 6,000 pounds of ammunition, two rifles, a shotgun and a semi-automatic pistol, a revolver and an air rifle in the man's car, along with a machete and a hunting dog. The car also, and a hunting knife, I'm sorry. Wow. The car also contained a throwing knife, a camouflage mask and netting. He had recently arrived in Toronto from New Brunswick. James Paul Stanson, 43, has been charged with a variety of weapons-related offenses and appeared in court for a bail hearing on Thursday. So, see, this is among the many, many reasons we love animals, is it not? My God. Busted up what sounded like was going to be huge and awful relentless assault by this guy. So, and it's sort of interesting and well, maybe worthwhile form of justice. A Texas woman convicted of neglecting her two horses will get only bread and water for the first 3 days of a 30-day jail sentence, the judge said on Tuesday. The Old West-style punishment was fitting for a crime in which Melissa Dawn Sweeney, 28, treated the horse, quote, deplorably, County Court at Law Judge Mike Peters said. Quote, I used to think back to the time when jail was jail and punishment was punishment and how they were put in solitary confinement with only bread and water to eat. That was in the back of my mind, he told Reuters. Sweeney, a former stable worker, was convicted on Friday of cruelty to animals for leaving her two horses unfed and unsheltered for 4 months outside her mobile home in Baytown, Texas, the Houston Chronicle said. Peter said the horses were more than 200 pounds underweight and in poor health. The animals were literally starved, he said. One of them had to be euthanized while the other recovered under the care of the new owner. And we'll go on from there. Fortunately, there's much happier horse tales coming up momentarily here on Talking Animals. And much more locally, this has sort of been brewing, but it seems to kind of boiled over recently. This is down towards La Jolla. And a headline, emotions swell in the battle of swimmers versus pro-seal activists. It's been called a fight between man and seal, but the battle over a beach in La Jolla has mostly been a case of man versus man, or more specifically, pro-seal activists versus pro-swimming demonstrators. Fistfights, fines, and restraining orders have been commonplace in the latest skirmish. and in a meeting to discuss dredging the beach, an aria was sung comparing one side's leader to a seal-shooting witch. The acrimony started in 1997 when the number of seals on Children's Pool Beach, in La Jolla, reached critical mass. Their droppings polluted the water so much that city officials closed the beach and put up signs warning swimmers of fecal contamination. Ever since, some longtime ocean swimmers have fought to reclaim the beach. Other people, meanwhile, have sat on the sand in a three-hour shift to keep swimmers out of the water and away from the seals. Members of a San Diego City Council committee spent more than 3 hours rehashing the issue last week when they considered a proposal to flush away the fecal pollution. The plan, outlined in a city manager's report, suggests moving 3,000 cubic yards of polluted sand to a nearby beach in hopes that the tides will carry it away. Most members of the committee refused to recommend the proposal, calling it flawed. But out of deference to a colleague, the five-member panel voted unanimously to place the issue before the full council. Nearly 100 people showed up for the hearing, and the discussion was mostly cordial compared to past confrontations. The public comments reached their loudest when one pro-seal activist broke into song, turning an aria from Franz Lehár's The Merry Widow into a lyrical attack on one opponent's position. Seals on my beach, what a horrible sight. Would I not shoot them? Oh dear, if I might. Quote, it was not malicious, said resident Marjan Adlam, the opera student. We like to discuss things, but there's just no way to discuss with these people. Melinda Merriweather, portrayed as the villain in the song, said she had received far worse. One, she said, pro-seal activist, aired her home phone number on the radio, urging callers to harass her because they alleged that Merriweather hated seals. Quote, I don't hate seals. I mean, what kind of person hates seals? She said, I just want my granddaughter to be able to swim on the beach. So, anyways, it goes on from there. If you have any thoughts, comments, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. We can sort of ponder that as we move into our mid-news quiz question. Then we may have to cut the rest of the news a bit short to come back to it later because we want to get into the comedy corner. And then, of course, our guest, Janelle Robinson. But I have to say, personally, I haven't done it so much lately, but for years, it was a great way to kind of de-stress from work and other nutty stuff. I would go down to that beach and just hang at the appropriate distance, of course, and just watch those seals for hours. And it was really cool, and they're just great. And, you know, I was just mesmerized. And they were content. That's where they go. They just happened to find that spot, and they would just come in. There'd be dozens, 50, 60, 70 easily, just hanging out, sunning themselves, you know, kind of loping around there, and then heaving into the water. And anyway, so I guess I'm a pro seal guy in this case, for what it's worth. So, anyways, one quick minute here for our mid news, although it might be in today end of news. Instant quiz question. That's a true false question, and if you're the first person to call in with the correct answer, you win a fabulous prize. It might be a CD, a book, cat toys, safety collar for your dog, T-shirts. One of our newest T-shirts is from the folks at Paws. And it says, elephants don't belong in circuses. It's a really cool black T-shirt. And it says Paws on it. Anyways, there's an assortment of other stuff. We can get into that later because the same prizes are available if you win the quiz and name that animal tune coming up later. So here's the question. Quickly, true or false, greyhounds have the best eyesight of any breed of dog. True or false? 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So, going to set aside the rest of the news for the moment. Again, hopefully we'll have time later to come back to it. And, of course, if there are ever any news stories or announcements, events you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@AOL.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@AOL.com. And I'm pleased to remind you, perhaps redundantly so, about the Talking Animals website. We hope you'll check that site out at www.talkinganimals.net. Again, it's .net. It's .net, folks. And sign up for the email list. We can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of all the shows, assorted photographs and articles, all kinds of links, other audio pieces and more. So please stop by and take a look around. Again, it's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which as always, of course, involves an animal-oriented piece of comedy. This is Jonathan Winters with a vintage piece called The Deer Hunter, on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI.
Anyway, I was leaving through some magazines and Sports Affield, Sports Illustrated, magazines like that, and came across some pictures of guys with their kill, you know, of deer, $4 or $5. And I thought I'd give you a typical opening day deer season. Can be any place where they're deer. And five or six guys, and it's just not quite dawn. And I think the conversation might go something like this.
Ed, listen, do me a favor. Now listen to me. This year, doggone it, we're going to get a deer. Last year, we just fooled around in the cottage and got sauced. And we didn't accomplish anything for a week. Let's get a deer, huh? It's no fun coming back with a half a bear and, you know, some dead trout or something. Let's get a deer this year. Come on. And I want you to stay on that spot. You promise?
Yeah.
All right, well, just stay there. Chick. Oh, gee. Joe, you shot Chick already. We haven't been out 15 minutes. I'm sorry, Chick. Chick's dead. Put him on the bumper. Tom, now, I want you down in the gully, understand?
Well, there was nothing down there last year. It wasn't anything but dried leaves.
Well, believe me, we never know. What was that? Ralph, why would you shoot him in a tree? He was climbing up there to get a sight of the valley. Come on down. What was that? Tom's already dead. Now, there you go. That's what I mean. That's what I mean by not staying on your spot. What was that now? Now, Ralph's dead. Ralph, you shouldn't have been walking through that area there. Are you dead, Ralph?
Oh.
Well, somebody put him on the bumper then. Because I want to take something back this year. I'm not kidding. Even if it's Ralph. Tom? Where are you, Tom?
Over here. I didn't bring my gun. I thought I'd just...
Don't act that way. You just stand in the hollow tree.
There are animals in here. Raccoons and things. And woolly worms.
Just do as I tell you. Have another drink and stay in the tree.
Okay.
Jeez. Hard enough to find deer. Oh, there's one. That's a dandy. Work my sights here. Jeez, that rascal's standing still. Where's my gun? That shell in there. Just that. I'll give it to him. Jeez, a ricochet hit me in the chest. Holy jeez. It was a cast iron deer.
All right. That was Jonathan Winters with a classic piece called The Deer Hunter. It's taken from his CD entitled Wings It. Here on KUCI. Yeah, the Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you are indeed listening to Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at KUCI.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way. And some of you, perhaps, arrived there through our swell website, TalkingAnimals.net. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that this week's guest is Janelle Robinson, Director of Therapy Services at the Shea Writing Center, Therapeutic Writing Center in San Juan Capistrano. We already touched briefly on hippotherapy. Let's get a lot more into that as we learn all about the Shea Center by welcoming Janelle Robinson to Talking Animals. Janelle, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Duncan.
Good morning. Welcome to Talking Animals. Thanks so much. So I attempted earlier to define hippotherapy, largely plagiarizing, of course, from the Shea Center materials. But perhaps you could better explain what it is and how it works.
Yeah, hippo is the Greek word for horse. So it actually means using the horse as a therapy tool. And hippotherapy is used by a physical therapist. It could be used by an occupational therapist or a speech language pathologist. And basically, we use our medical background and we use the movement of the horse as a treatment tool. And the really unique thing about that is the horse's pelvis moves completely three-dimensionally, like our pelvis does when we're walking. So there's no piece of equipment that does that. So it's a pretty powerful tool, particularly from a physical therapy standpoint.
And Janelle, can you sort of delineate the difference between hippotherapy and therapeutic riding? Because if you didn't know any better, like I didn't, you might try to use those terms interchangeably, but boy, would that be wrong, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, there definitely is a difference. And, you know, there are a lot of centers throughout the United States. There's over like 600-plus centers in the U.S., and most of them are therapeutic riding programs. There's probably about 14 that have physical therapists on staff, and they have private separate hippotherapy programs. So they usually work together. But the difference being is the hippotherapy program, again, is run by a licensed medical professional, and it is a medical treatment. And the sport riding or the therapeutic riding program, it's actually using the horse as a recreational tool or to teach riders riding lessons, basically. So when a client comes to the center, they can either go into two different tracks. They can stay one-on-one with the therapist, and maybe they have real specific goals that they'd like to work on. Maybe it's, you know, sitting up better, getting better trunk control, better coordination. And on the other hand, maybe somebody comes with a child who's maybe, you know, 8 or 9 years old and says, you know, I want my kid to come and have fun. They want a sport to do. Their brother plays soccer, and this could be something recreational. So, again, our center serves clients with a variety of disabilities.
Yeah.
And just all different disabilities. And based on what the client wants, we will fit that need.
And what is it? I mean, you kind of alluded to the three-dimensional movement, but what is it, maybe even more specifically, about a horse that, I mean, it's not only medicinal, it almost seems like magical properties in terms of just the healing or potential healing power.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different things going on, but mm-hmm. from the medical standpoint and things that I've been researched, the movement of the pelvis, actually, when you're sitting on a horse, it's like you're walking. So imagine if you were a child in a wheelchair that's never walked, or maybe you've had a stroke and you're not walking again. There's no piece of equipment that can make your pelvis move through those movements. So what it's doing is actually moving you through the movements and allowing your body to practice that movement over and over. And imagine being on this moving surface. Okay, you've got to balance constantly up there. So your stomach muscles, your back muscles are working. So it actually gives the client time to practice movements over and over. There's a lot of things, too. If you think about children maybe with cerebral palsy as a diagnosis, when you watch them walk, their legs are really tight. Have you ever noticed sometimes their legs cross?
Absolutely, yeah.
When you put them on a horse, you're stretching their legs. So you're giving them a prolonged stretch over, say, a 30-minute session, and that rhythmical walk actually loosens the pelvis and the rotation causes something to happen, which is a neurological reflex, and actually relaxes the muscles. So oftentimes, well, actually, every time the child will get off the horse, the pelvis is relaxed and their legs are relaxed. So, you know, there's a lot of neat things that happen just because of the nature of the way that the horse is built. And, it, you know, as far as the magical aspect of it, it's very motivating, and I think that's a big part.
Janelle, I mean, because you mentioned this in preparing for this, you know, I've read a lot of the kind of hippotherapy and related literature, and you know, there's just sort of a number of references to there not being any kind of equipment that can replicate that motion. But I guess at this point, in sort of this high-tech, sophisticated, you know, day and age, I mean, why can't something replicate it? I mean, is it just so specific to a horse that
right.
even the most sophisticated, you know, engineers or computer types or whatever just couldn't quite duplicate it?
Well, maybe somebody's trying, but I don't know of anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, the closest thing you could think of is if you think about a physical therapist, you know, insurance company might say, you know, we're not going to pay for this because, you know, you're just out there doing fun on a horse.
Yeah.
And they might compare it to a therapist using one of those big balls that you see in therapy. Have you ever seen those big rubber balls?
Absolutely.
That therapists
will
put kids on?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I can rock that ball side to side. I can move it, you know, in all different directions. But what I can't replicate is that forward movement through space. So from a sensory perspective, you know, when a normal child is growing up, they develop motor skills based on the sensory input that they're getting. So everything that they're moving through space, that's how they're figuring out how their body moves. Well, if these kids don't move through space because of their disability, they're never going to get those motor skills.
Hmm.
So you can't replicate that forward translation through space. You
can
replicate kind of side to side and up and down. But here you're getting on the horse, you're getting the side to side, the forward and back, and the translation of movement forward in space, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so the three-dimensional thing really is pivotal, and that's
right.
what makes the difference.
Right.
I want to remind our listeners that this is Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine, and we're speaking with Janelle Robinson from the Shea Therapeutic Riding Center in San Juan Capistrano, and you can join the conversation if you'd like by calling us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI. KUCI. Okay, so Janelle, while my mention of hypotherapy's, you know, sort of magical properties was obviously a bit tongue-in-cheek, I mean, there are some facets that at least to me would initially seem to, if not defy logic, just be somewhat surprising. I mean, it makes sense that it would improve posture, balance, or the example you gave about stretching out muscles with someone with CP. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at first glance, I wouldn't necessarily expect that working with a horse would impact, let's say, that person's speech or language. Can you kind of address how that does work?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a speech therapist. However, there's a lot of literature, and I've worked with a speech therapist. And, you know, if you think about normal speech production, you have to have, in order for me to sit here and talk to you, I have to have good breath support, and I have to get a strong stomach muscle and a strong diaphragm to be able to produce sound. So oftentimes these kids with disabilities, you know, they don't sit up properly. So first of all, they don't have the trunk support. So by putting them on this moving surface and challenging their stomach and back muscles all the time, first of all, they get stronger. So that's number one. Mm-hmm. So once they start to get stronger, they get increased breath, and then that allows for more verbalization. The other aspect is the sensory aspect. Again, I kind of alluded to kids don't develop normally unless they explore and get movement and move through space. So by challenging their sensory system, rocking back and forth, changing directions and movement, oftentimes the speech therapist that I spoke to explained it that it just almost like integrates their neurological system and allows their brain to be able to coordinate speech.
Wow.
It's pretty fascinating. I have kids with autism that that's a particular diagnosis where sometimes they don't have a lot of speech and language, and they start talking. And another powerful thing I think I was telling you a story about was, you know, if you can't talk or you don't have a cause to say something, but you want something bad enough, like the movement of the horse, you really crave the movement, you might start to get the word go. Like a lot of times I'll say, make him do a hand gesture and pat the horse and say, go, and try to get him. Once I can get the child to say go, it's that cause and effect. It opens that doorway. Okay, I said go, that horse moved, I got what I wanted.
So they really start to see the results,
right?
Even if they're not otherwise, in theory, capable of making those kind of connections.
Right. And that's the biggest thing, is if you can make that connection with somebody, even if they might have some severe autism or maybe, you know, some profound cognitive deficit, sometimes that's just enough to get them. You know, and really, I mean, maybe we're not looking for language like you and I have, but can you imagine if you had a child who couldn't talk to you? And just the ability for the kid to say, you know, I want something, or use a couple words. I mean, communication is something that... We all
be a huge breakthrough.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. What are you've alluded to a couple. What are just at least some of the many and varied you know, diagnoses that people have that you see there at the Shea Center?
It's a variety, but I would say there's a high percentage of children with cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
Autism is another one that seems to be, you know, you're hearing a lot about it in the news, and I definitely see our numbers increasing with children with autism. Head injuries, people who have had a stroke, people who have had spinal cord injuries at a certain level. They have to be low enough, you know, low enough in their spine. If it was in their neck, it would be too high.
Yeah.
And that kind of brings to the point, I think, you know, it's not for everybody. It's only, you know, it's maybe great for some people, but it's not for every person.
Yeah, you know, that brings me, I was sort of thinking about just, I mean, let's say that there are, just hypothetically, there are two people who come into the Shea Center with, with the identical diagnosis or darn close to it, you know, head injury or you know, you can come up with whatever it would be for this hypothetical. And because it isn't indicated for every client, I mean, or potential client, what are some factors, if they did come in with largely the same diagnosis, that would make it more or less indicated for one of these hypothetical clients than the other?
Yeah, a big thing is, like, you know, especially particularly if it's an adult or a larger child, if they don't have enough trunk and head control to sit by themselves, you know, without somebody propping them up, imagine being on a horse above the therapist's head. If their trunk control isn't great enough, we physically can't hold somebody on. It's also very hard on our horses. It's a really tough job for the horses to carry unbalanced weight. So weight is a factor.
I see.
The so ability if someone to hold your body up, or maybe if somebody has a diagnosis to where they're, you know, maybe abusive or hitting the horse or hitting the sidewalkers. So it just depends. Again, they have to go through an evaluation, and that's the best thing is to get the paperwork, go through an evaluation, and then the therapist would decide.
Okay. Look, Janelle, looks like we might have a call. Do you want to take a call from someone
sure.
who's listening? Okay. Hi. Oh. All right. Maybe they'll call back. All right. Can't seem to get rid of the dial tone. Are you still there, Janelle? KCI? Oh, hey, Janelle, sorry. Okay, I don't know what happened there. Okay, hold on one sec. All right. KCI? Hey. Janelle?
Yes.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I don't know what, I think by trying to answer that call, we got our wires crossed literally there. But anyway, so let's hope, it looks like, okay, let's try again. Hi, you're on the air live on KCI with Janelle Robinson from the
I have a question for Janelle.
Okay, great.
Hello, Janelle.
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking the call. I was wondering if you've had any experience with children because of the illness they have being rough on the horses, you know, like involuntary kicking, for example,
uh-huh.
And how do you handle that?
Well, each horse has to be really, you know, accepting of movement and kicking. I mean, it's not that if somebody kicks, it's a bad thing. It's just if it becomes out of hand. And, you know, I think that oftentimes, you know, children who are doing that, they understand no. And so a lot of times also, if they're doing it, if I can change the movement of the horse because that's what they're craving, maybe I see that the child is moving around excessively. I might speed the horse up or trot. And oftentimes that will stop that type of behavior. Does that make sense?
Oh, I see. And so that's interesting. Could you talk a little bit about the kind of horses you use for this? Like, do they come from all sort of walks of life kind of stuff?
Definitely. We look for horses. Most people try to give us donations of horses, and usually they're older and retired from a previous career, and we like them to be extremely educated, so maybe horses that have had a show career.
Uh-huh.
They go through a 90-day trial period here where they have to get used to wheelchairs and walkers and ramps and balls and toys. And, again, it has to be a real special horse, one that's very calm and accepting of movement and different stimuli.
But also not too big, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's a certain kind of size that's optimum, and much beyond that is
right.
Less good.
Like 15-3, 16 hands would be the max. You know, if they're too tall above my head, again, it's hard to. It's not as safe if we needed to do an emergency dismount. So smaller
right.
horses. We have a lot of quarter horses. We do have some thoroughbreds. Typically, thoroughbreds tend to be a little hotter. But, you know,
right.
again, you'll find certain horses that break the mold. And so we have a little bit of everything here, some ponies, you know, a lot of different horses.
Right.
Warm
well,
blood.
Thank you very much for taking my call. Good
You're
luck
welcome.
With this now. Thank you.
You're
Bye-bye.
Welcome.
Thanks for calling. Well, speaking of that kind of, you know, let's maybe if we can do a little by the numbers in history. And again, I want to remind our listeners, this is Janelle Robinson from the Shea Therapeutic Riding Center in San Juan Capistrano. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI. And you can still join the conversation for a few more minutes at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So the center actually has pretty long, cool history. I mean, established, I want to say, 78, 79?
Yeah, 1979 with one therapy horse and one rider. And then over the years, it has grown, and we have about 200 riders a week right now.
Wow. And how many horses are...
About 26 horses that we use. And again, you know, some horses might get sick, so we might have to take them off the rotation for a couple of weeks, so
yeah.
We have to have a little bit of flexibility.
Sure. And am I right in thinking, I think I might have read this as well, that it's the only full-time, at least, therapeutic riding center in Southern California?
There are other therapeutic riding centers. We're the only one in Southern California that has a full-time physical therapy program in addition to the sport riding program.
I see. And as another sort of a bragging right of sorts, I think I also learned that there's what's better part of maybe 700 such centers in the U.S., but I guess only five are certified to train instructors, and the Shea is one of those five?
Yeah, that's right.
Cool.
So we basically bring people in, like we're getting ready to start our instructor course in a couple weeks, and people come from all over. We have three people coming from Japan, you know, Minnesota. We've had them from Canada, and they basically come here for 5 weeks, and it's an intensive five-week course where they learn how to be riding instructors. They obviously should already know how to ride, but we're going to give them the background of disabilities and understanding and safety, and, you know, it's pretty intense. So they,
wow.
Once they get through the course, they've done a good job.
And how about you then? It sounds like, I mean, I guess that you've had a long, you know, that you probably grew up riding horses.
Yeah, I mean, I was very fortunate that this was a natural fit for me. I was a horse person since the age of 10. So
mm-hmm.
For me, it was a natural fit. Some therapists come to this and just love it and then end up getting trained. But most likely the ones who are in this, you know, have a love of it.
Yeah, yeah. And and how long have you been at the Shea Center?
I've been about 4.5 years now.
Great, great. Yeah. And what sort of brought you there was the horse background as well as being a therapist, you decided to kind of put those together?
Or? It was something I always wanted to do, but mm-hmm. never really dreamed that I could do it full-time. In the years past, I had volunteered for programs, and most programs aren't in a situation where they can have a full-time therapist. So this is a really unique setting where it's large enough to accommodate a full-time therapist 40 hours a week.
Wow.
So for me, it was a great fit, like you said, because yeah. just being two loves in your life that you can combine. So
sure. And how many clients in an average week, at least, do you personally see?
I personally see about 23 a week.
Wow.
Sounds like a lot, and then sometimes it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're physically out there holding on to somebody, you know, 45 minutes with your arm muscles, it's kind of taxing. It can
yeah,
be taxing. So
sure.
you have to kind of keep your schedule so that you don't, your body doesn't fall apart.
Yeah. And another key element of the Shea Center I really want to hit is the whole volunteer aspect. How many volunteers are currently helping out there?
We have about 300 volunteers that come a week. And I think in 2003, they logged like 20,000 volunteer hours were
wow.
recorded. So we have volunteers for everything, you know, leading the horse, sidewalking, even just tacking the horses. We even have office volunteers. So we're always in need of volunteers. It's a constant, you know, need. Because, you know, some people maybe do it for a college course to get their credits, and then we never see them again, and some people stick around for years. So.
Yeah. And how would someone get involved? We actually wanted to mention earlier the website is www.shaycenter.org.
Right.
Would they go to the website, or is it better to call if they want to get
either
involved?
Either or, because yeah. if you get on the website, you can actually look under volunteers, and there's you can download all the information that you need to fill out. And basically, once you guys, you know, once the person fills it out, then they'll get set up with a training course, and they'll learn the safety aspect of it. If they want to call, that's fine, too.
Yeah, and that number, I believe, is 949-240-8441.
That's correct.
Great. We're just about nearing the end of our time, Janelle, but, I mean, just by sort of way of wrap-up, I just thought it might be interesting for a few reasons to chat about Michael Lewis. Was he, I think, among the very first?
He was the very first rider, yeah.
Yeah, and he's still, like, that was 25 years ago.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, he's still...
He still rides here once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. It was pretty amazing, his story, because his parents, again, were looking for some recreation, something for him to do. And, you know, he's still here, and he loves it, and it's an amazing thing. And his family is very supportive of the center. And, yeah, I'd say that's pretty rare that someone would ride here this long, but they're a
yeah.
great family.
And I also thought it was interesting just as another, you know, kind of element of kind of what the therapy can involve, that in his case, and maybe others too with cerebral palsy, that at least some of that lesson, if I followed this correctly, involves him kind of lying along the horse's spine so that the horse, again, the movement, the rhythmic gait kind of like warms and loosens
right.
his muscles. And I just thought, again, it's, you know, it's just so, I don't know, it just seems so cool and you know, it's just almost unimaginable that the horse is bringing that much in so many different ways to so many different people. You
yeah,
know?
It's a pretty amazing tool, and particularly with cerebral palsy, I mean, there's many different types of CP, but in the type where they're all four extremities are extremely what we call spastic or really tight,
yeah.
It's just like the brain is sending too much message to these muscles to tighten up all the time, and when you rock and rotate and rhythmical rocking actually relaxes those muscles. So for these kids who are incredibly tight like that, this may be the only time that they get to relax and stretch. It's not that we're going to change the way they come back next week. However, we may be able to stretch them that session and prevent them from what we call contractures. So when you're that tight, you can actually get stuck in certain positions.
Mm.
Imagine a scoliosis could form. Your hips could get really tight. So for a lot of, well, for some of the kids, it's almost like preservation of certain function, if that makes sense. We're not
yeah.
going to let them get worse.
Yeah, yeah. No,
so,
it's just...
you know, in a traditional insurance setting, they won't pay for that. They'll say, you know, we can't pay for preserving someone's skills, but here, because we don't bill insurance and we are private pay, you know, we can pretty much do whatever's needed for the client. So it can be a great adjunct when people feel like they're out of therapy time.
Wow.
If it's, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it really does. And it's really an amazing place. I had the opportunity to go check it out last week. And anyway, so it's the, I mean, there's any number of names, some longer than others, but it's it can be called the Shea Center. It can be called the J.F. Shea Therapeutic Riding Center. But by any name, it's in San Juan Capistrano. The website, again, is shaycenter.org. The phone number is 949-240-8441. And Janelle Robinson, I really want to thank you for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Oh, I had a great time. And just tell everyone to come on down to our annual barbecue, September the 18th. It's a great fundraiser, and they can actually see the riding. We'll have little demonstrations. And
oh, great.
Claim Jumper sponsors it, live band, silent auction, family fun. It's a great time. So,
and that's September 18th?
September the 18th.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
Absolutely. We'll mention that a few more times. And Janelle, thank you so much. And we'll hopefully see some of our Talking Animals listeners down there on the 18th, if not before.
Great. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye
care.
Now. Bye. All right. That was, again, Janelle Robinson from the J.F. Shea Therapeutic Riding Center in San Juan Capistrano. The website, again, Shea Center, S-H-E-A, center.org. Phone number 949-240-8441, and she just mentioned if you're anywhere near the area and want to check it out, and again, it's really just a cool place, and obviously the work they're doing is just fantastic. September 18th is their big barbecue, and there's eats and music and demonstrations, but I think also, too, if you played your cards right and wanted to go down, especially want to get involved as a volunteer, go to the website or call them up, and I'm sure they'd be happy to hear from you. So I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI and Irvine 88.9 FM, streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. It's time now to proceed to Name That Animal Tune. Again, this is pretty much like any version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. So I'll play a snippet of this little number, and there'll be a prize. Did he say prize? That's right. Damn right I did, Buckaroo. For the first caller who correctly identifies this animal tune. So as soon as you recognize it, please call us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. All right, let's get started. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals here on KUCI. All right, can you name that animal to you? If you can, 9-4... There's the answer right there. Come on, we're giving it to you. It's another gimme. It's another who's buried in Grant's tomb type of question. All right, well, if you want to call in 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI for all kinds, a choice of all kinds of cool prizes, which we've mentioned earlier on the animal quiz segment. But I want to resume a couple of news items so in our remaining moments, especially because one involves a guest we had a few weeks ago, Tammy Grimes from an organization called Dogs Deserve Better, which is it's a national organization based in New Jersey, but it's devoted to getting dogs that are chained or penned up outside freed from those conditions and brought inside and integrated into either that family or some other family if that family is just not capable of doing it. So I wanted to read this, at least some of this press release. Tammy Sneath Grimes, founder of Dogs Deserve Better, will chain herself to a doghouse in State College, Pennsylvania for 33 hours to raise awareness for the plight of chained and penned dogs from 8 a.m. July 3rd through 5 p.m. July 4th. Grimes says there are many people in America who don't even know this goes on. Don't believe these dogs live chained outside for their entire lives. My hope is to bring this national problem to their attention. Everyone needs to know how chained and penned dogs live, and everyone who knows the loving nature of a dog needs to take a stand against it. Dogs Deserve Better, an award-winning national nonprofit working to get dogs into the home and family, announces its second annual chain-off event. This event will take place July 3 and 4. While the country celebrates the freedom of America during this time, Dogs Deserve Better calls attention to those who are still not free, dogs who live their entire lives on the end of a chain or enclosed in a pen. So, imagine that's indeed going to get some attention. That's good for Tammy. If you want to find out more about Dogs Deserve Better or this event or anything else, they have a cool website. It's www.dogsdeservebetter.com. More locally, in terms of the West Nile thing, I thought I should quickly hit this as well. The Orange County Vector Control District has found the West Nile virus in 17 dead birds from throughout the county, while the State Department of Health Services discovered it in in mosquito pools in Brea. The results indicate a strong possibility that the virus will affect someone in Orange County in the near future, officials said. Quote, there's a fairly well-established pattern, said Howard Setter, spokesman for the Orange County Health Care Agency. You'll find it first in birds, mosquito pools second, and human cases come next. 10 people statewide have been infected with West Nile. All have recovered or are recovering, officials said. It had been predicted that California would be hard hit by the disease, which is transmitted through the bite of mosquitoes, which affect humans and other animals. The disease has killed nearly 600 people nationwide since 1999. Quote, we have not had human cases in Orange County yet, Sutter said, but the likelihood is that they will occur, and we want people to do things they can to protect themselves. And just sort of randomly hitting a couple other things. Ingrid Newkirk, the founder and director of PETA, was in town, at least in Southern California, over the weekend, and at a big seminar called Helping Animals 101, and it's interesting in a few ways. I don't have time to get in everything, but seemed to be softening a little bit their position by at least some of the comments she made, including, let me just grab this quote here. Oh, she said at one point, PETA can't provide support for illegal acts, she said. No matter what anyone else is doing, there are 101 perfectly legal things people can do to bring about a better life for animals. So I think some would say that that's a slight shift in their position in terms of doing good work for animals, but anyway, and lastly, let me just mention the Animal Rescue Site, which is indeed a website that you can go to. It's the www.theanimalrescuesite.com. And if you go, you can click on a little section called Feed an Animal in Need. And because of an arrangement with corporate sponsors and advertisers, each time someone does that, that releases funds to feed or otherwise care for animals that have been abandoned or neglected in various facilities. So that's the animalrescuesite.com, and again, you can go every day to do that, and that might be about all we have time for on today's sequel to the news, part two, as it were. So indeed, I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI and Irvine 88.9 FM. And I want to remind you again that the views and opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. I want to thank again our guest, Janelle Robinson, from the Shea Therapeutic Riding Center. Check out the website, www.sheacenter.org. And I want to also remind you about their cool event down there that she just told us about on September 18th. And you can find out about that at the website or calling 949-240-8441. 949-240-8441. I also want to thank you all for listening and for our phone caller. Called in with a cool couple of questions there. We appreciate that. I hope you'll join us next week on Talking Animals when our guest will be Tanya Petrovna. We reschedule her. She's the chef, executive officer of Native Foods, California Vegan Restaurants, who will talk with us about veggie cooking and her cookbooks and her cooking classes and seminars. And there's a Native Foods opened a few months ago in Costa Mesa. So we'll talk about just all kinds of stuff. But part of the extra kind of fun about this session is that she's going to be doing all that while preparing a few dishes right here in the KUCI studio. So, we're actually going to invite a few folks in to sample the cool stuff that she makes and maybe make some on-air comments. So if you'd like to do that, you can email us at talkinganimals@aol.com. So anyways, and that'll be right after the 4th of July, after people have been grilling their dogs and their burgers and whatever. So it seems kind of interesting, cool timing there. So we'll hope you're joining us for that on Talking Animals next week, Monday, July 5th. By the way, other great public affairs shows on KUCI include just today alone, the Serena Sharp Show, which of course precedes Talking Animals. Then at 5 p.m., we offer Counterspin, followed at 5:30 by Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan. And that's just Monday, folks. There's a great public affairs programming talk shows like this virtually each weekday, 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning. Then again, from 5 to 6 in the afternoon. On the music side of the KUCI schedule, I also host a show called The Dead Air Zone, Thursdays from 8 to 10 p.m. So when you have a chance, please check that out. And I want to urge you, again, to check out our website, talkinganimals.net. When you get there, please sign up for our email list. We can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. Also encourage you to email with any comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@aol.com. Really look forward to hearing from you. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott Aspen. The Blues Disease is a great, great blues show here on KUCI. This has been Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And as always, we're going to close things out here with an animal-related tune. This is sort of both a nod to our guest Janelle in the Shea Writing Center and the Cramps, who on Saturday are headlining the 10th anniversary Hootenanny at, I think it's Irvine Canyon Park. I think they're back at the old location. Anyways, featuring a bunch of great bands. So this is the Cramps with Saddle Up a Buzz Buzz on KUCI. We'll catch you next week on Talking Animals.
For a wiggle in a stew from a big tall heels on a big bad boot. She said, saddle up a buzz buzz. 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 Tarzan drove a stingray in a fiberglass jungle, swung from high tension wires and yelled down at the humble. Hey! Straight to the grave screen.